So why don't we have a word of prayer? Ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, that we can study your word. Lord, we want you, Lord God, your word to take a hold of us. And my God, that it's going to, God, speak to us. And Lord, it's going to put a real desire in our hearts to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray some more. God, work here tonight. Speak to our hearts. Reveal yourself in a greater measure to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So how many of us have heard the call this week? The call to come. Isn't that what we're talking about? Come, the open invitation from the Lord. The open invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does it mean to be heavy laden? Now, you're never heavy laden, are you? To be heavy laden, any ideas of what that means? Burden down, okay. It talks about power, exerting powers of body and mind. You know, burden down in your mind, and the Lord says, come. Come to me. And we get burdened down sometimes, don't we? Burdened down in our mind. Burdened down by the cares of this life. Burdened down by the problems we experience in this life. And life has its problems, doesn't it? We all face problems day by day by day. But there's that open invitation. Come. And we need to hear the Lord calling us to come. And let's open our Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Mark 6 and verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So they were busy people. We're busy people, aren't we? Get up in the morning and start running. And sometimes it feels like you're just running all day long. No time for yourself. No time to do anything. And Jesus says, come. Take that time to come, and he said, rest a while. And you know, when you get into God's presence, you're going to find rest. You think of rest, I even took time to look up the word rest, and it says to refresh oneself. There goes that word again, a refreshing. Some place where I can go and lay my burdens down. Some place where I can go and forget all about it. And you know, sometimes we go to prayer and we're rehearsing to the Lord all of our troubles, all of our problems. How about just going to the Lord and worshiping him? How about just going to the Lord and praising him? Getting into those cool waters, those refreshing waters, those waters that will refresh your soul and bring revival. So he says, I don't want you to forget this word. He says, come. Come. We were talking last week about that trysting place. That meeting place with God. Have you made a trysting place? Do you have a time when you meet with the Lord? You know, when lovers meet, now I'm not married. Can't say I've ever been in love. I mean, I've liked a few people, but, you know. But when lovers meet, they want to be alone, don't they? They don't want a whole lot of people around. They don't want a third party. They just want the two of them to be together. Are you in love with Jesus? Are you really, really, really in love with Jesus? We're really, really, really in love with Jesus. Then we want to be alone with him. Have that sweet fellowship, that sweet communion with him. And you know, having that sweet fellowship, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, it's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to make a difference. Number one, others will know the difference. They'll see that difference. Let's look at the life of Moses. A time when Moses spent time alone with God and what others observed. Exodus chapter 34. So Moses had been alone with the Lord, and the Lord was communing with him. We read last week where the Lord said, I talk with Moses face to face as a friend. And so Moses had been spending quite a bit of time with the Lord. He was with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. Now, I'm not saying that's what you need to do. I can't imagine doing that, but there are people who have done it. I know at least a couple of people who went 40 days and 40 nights. I think they might have had milk or something, but nothing much of anything. It kills us to go a whole day without food, doesn't it? But can you imagine being in the presence of God and the fellowship being so sweet that you have no desire to eat? You have no desire for food or drink. And so Moses had been there with the Lord. God was talking with him. God was communing with him. And verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from the mount, from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. The presence of the Lord brought the glory of God down on his face. People could see it. Do you know people can see when we've been in the presence of God? Have you ever just met somebody and they said, you're a Christian, aren't you? You didn't have to say anything to them. They just knew that there was something about you. But you know, when we don't spend time with God, it also shows. We're down, we're depressed, we're morbid, as it were. I was just at a wake just before I came to the service, and I said to the daughter of the woman, I said, she looks like an angel. And she did. You know how you see pictures of angels? This lady was a real skinny little lady, and there was a white coffin, white innards, you know, the lace and whatever, white like a nightgown type thing, but it was a dressy nightgown with embroidery, and she just looked so peaceful, so calm. And you know, when we get in God's presence, it shows. Now, we've heard Sister Judy talk about how this past, I don't know, when did she say it was, September or whatever, sometime in the summer, where God began working in her. And you know what? I sensed that. I knew that. I could see that. I don't know how many of you others, without her saying anything, sensed that. But his face shone. It showed that he had been walking with Jesus. He had been in communion with the Lord. And that's what we want. We want to be in such communion with God that no matter where we go, others are going to be touched and others are going to be affected because I have been with Jesus. I've been taking time to spend with Jesus. And so it goes on and it tells us in verse 33, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Can you imagine the glory of God being so great on you that you'd have to cover your face like a bride would coming into the church so nobody can see her face till afterwards? It's just unbelievable, isn't it? In a way, in the natural. But his face would shine. And, you know, I began thinking about the thought of Moses, the thought of Daniel. Daniel had a trysting place, didn't he? Three times a day. He took time to spend with God. And no matter what man said, no matter what, whether they threatened him to throw him in the lion's den, he kept that trysting place. He kept that appointed commitment to the Lord. And, you know, even Muslims have a call to prayer. I mean, they don't know Jesus, but yet they, five times a day, they have a call to prayer. The first, you know, their first time for call to prayer is before sunrise. Before what? Sunrise, when we all want to sleep, and especially in the winter, snuggle under those covers. But you know, I've found that sometimes that's the best time. And I'm not saying that's the, you know, we should, that's the time we should make to pray. But I'm saying for myself, it's the best time because my day hasn't started. Nobody's calling me on the phone. I'm not up running around seeing what needs to be done, what things I need to put away from moving, what I need to get in place. And I can spend good time with Jesus, just fellowshipping with Jesus, just talking to him. And so their first time is before the sunrise. Their second call to prayer is at midday. Their third one is late afternoon. The fourth is just after the sun goes down. And then five before they go to bed. Now, if sinners can feel a call to call out to God, they may not be worshiping God like you do, but they can find time to seek God. I mean, that's what they said they're doing. They're seeking God. How about us who say we're so in love with Jesus? And day after day can go by and we don't talk to him. We don't pray. We don't seek him. And then we wonder, why do I have such trials? Why do I feel so dry? Why are things not going right for me? You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to cry out to God. You need to get into the presence of the Lord. Remember Isaiah? What happened when Isaiah got in the presence of God? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6 and see what things took place as he spent time in prayer. Isaiah 6, and we'll begin with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then, well, let's stop there for a minute. Now, why was this the time that God was moving? I mean, Isaiah was a prophet of God. You're a child of God. And Isaiah, I'm sure, had taken time before to seek the Lord, but God had an appointed time. God has an appointed time to visit you. Isaiah took time to get into God's presence. And when he did, he began seeing God's glory like he had never seen it before. You know, it's not only when you come to church that God can visit you. God can visit you all by your little lonesome self in your prayer closet. If we'd only take time to get in his presence. And so this visitation was ordained of God. And I believe every visitation we have is ordained of God. And as he saw the glory of the Lord, he was getting a deeper revelation from God, of God. And one thing I want to say to you is when you go to prayer, expect that God's going to move. Don't expect that it's just going to be the routine. I'm just going to go to God. I'm going to tell him my troubles. I'm going to tell him all that's happening in my life. But expect that something is going to happen. That something revolutionary is going to happen. That something radical could happen. You think of something radical, you think of something extreme. And, you know, there can be a time you go with God in prayer and you're there pouring out your heart to the Lord and you see the glory of God and you see God's holiness. And, you know, God's holiness, seeing God's holiness causes us to see our unholiness, our unrighteousness, our shortcomings. Sometimes as Christians, we get comfortable and we think we're all right. But remember the psalmist in Psalm, is it 139:23, I think it is, in 24? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We're human, aren't we? We can fail God. We can sin. We can fall short. And it's only by getting into the presence of the Lord that we'll see our shortcomings. Because you know what your heart would tell you? Your heart as well as mine. You're okay. You're saved. You're going to church all the time. You're okay. But getting in the presence of the Lord, and God will put his finger on something. As Isaiah got in God's presence, God began showing Isaiah himself. And you know, seeing ourselves is not always pretty, is it? Not always pretty. Doesn't always look good. Here's the prophet of God. And listen to what the prophet of God is saying. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, a man who's prophesying, and he's saying, I'm a man of unclean lips. Which brings us to the point of, you know, sometimes people think that only the perfect can be used of God. Who's perfect? Some people try to let you believe they are. We have our shortcomings, don't we? But does that hinder God from using you because you have shortcomings? He says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Getting into God's presence will change you and will change me. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want changes. We want God to make us. Remember when Jesus met Peter and Andrew, James and John? What did he say to them? Follow me and I will make you. fishes of men. I'm going to change you, fellas. I'm going to change you from what you were. I'm going to change you from what you were doing if you follow me. And if we'll get into the presence of the Lord and really come to God like He's directing us to, we're going to find that God will bring about changes in our lives. We're going to find that God's going to work to change me. Never mind my brother and my sister and everybody around me. I want God to change me. I want God to work in me. What's God going to do about this problem? Isaiah has admitted, God, I have a problem. Are you willing to admit that? Lord, I have a problem. You might not have murdered anybody. Might not have gone out and committed adultery. That's good. But that's not the only problem we can have. Are you on fire in your soul? We were singing that song tonight, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over again. Is that your testimony? Is it? Is your love really on fire for Jesus? You know, it's only by getting into the presence of the Lord that that fire is going to get stirred up in our souls. It's only by crying out to God that revival is going to come. That personal revival that we talked about two months ago is going to come to us. It's by getting into His presence, by seeking Him, by crying out to Him. And God had a solution for the problem. God always has a solution. God always knows what to do. Remember He said, you're neither cold nor hot. And I wish you weren't lukewarm. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. But you know what? He doesn't want us cold either. He wants us hot. He wants that love to be on fire. And so Isaiah is saying, Lord, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And listen to God's solution. God's solution isn't always comfortable. God's solution sometimes causes us pain, discomfort, uneasiness. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. You imagine that? I don't know how many of you can see that. But see that? That was a live coal. In the Caribbean, when I was a child, they had two types of irons. One of them you'd put on the coals. It would get hot. You'd take it off and you'd iron your clothes. Another kind was a big, I don't know how to, you know, I was just a little kid, but I can remember them. And you put the coals in the iron itself. And that's how you ironed. Well, I was a toddler learning to climb, you know. You know how inquisitive kids can get. Well, I was one of those inquisitive kids. And my mom had been ironing with one of those that had the coals in it. And she turned her back. And Esther climbed up, moved the iron, and all she heard was, could move it enough to get it on my hand, but it was too heavy for me to lift off. And she came back and that hot. I mean, those were, I don't know. How big were they, Jackie? You remember, you're too young to remember that. But they were, I'd say it was probably this big. Because it had to fit hot coals in it. You ever got burnt? Well, I live to tell the story, but I live with a mark on my arm. My stepbrother has this Same type of a scar all the way up his arm. They weren't as fortunate as we were. He lived with his mother, and they didn't have electricity in their home. So when he had to go to the outhouse at night, he had to take, I don't know how they did this, but somehow they had like a bottle that you could put fire. I don't know. I can't describe it. But anyway, he went out with it. That thing caught on fire, and he's burnt all the way up to his elbow. Has that scar. Fire burns. God had a solution, and it wasn't going to be a pleasant one. What was the solution? Fire. Fire. You need purging? Be prepared for the fire. Be prepared to be saying, ouch. Be prepared to have God come and deal and move and work and make you uncomfortable. So the fire was brought and was put on his lips, and he said, lo, this hath touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. But you know, iniquity won't be taken away and sin won't be purged unless we admit that we're wrong. Last week we talked about Proverbs 28:13 that said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so we're needing that baptism of fire. There's a song, and I'll just read you some of the words to the song. I don't know how many of you know it, but it's an old, old song. I'm giving away my age, but that's okay. And it's the title of the song is Send the Fire. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. I told you last week, a lot of times when I pray, I use songs as my prayer. And this is one that I use for my prayer a lot of times. Goes on, it says, God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. I mean, the song makes you get the message. I need fire. To make me fit to live or die, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and glory in. The revolution, radical work of God to begin. Begin it in me, Lord. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. 'Tis fire I want, for fire I plead. Send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. For strength to ever do the right. For grace to conquer in the fight. For power to walk this world in white. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. We need the fire. I need the fire. You need the fire. And you know, you get fire here, and you got wood here, it's going to catch. Fire, we're all wood. We started a fire in here. It's going to catch on. There's a lot of wood. There's a lot of things that will burn up. But you know, when the fire comes, it burns up what's in its path. You know, it's easy to become complacent and allow things in our lives. Little things. Little attitudes. But fire takes care of that. God of Elijah, hear my cry. Lord, I need the fire. Lord, in other words, God, I need revival. I need you to revolutionize my life. God, I need you to do something fresh in me. But it's not going to happen unless I take Christ's invitation and come. Not going to happen unless I get into his presence and seek him. Unless I get alone with him. Alone. Seeking him whom my soul loveth. Yearning for God. The psalmist said, my heart, my soul followeth hard after thee, O God. Remember when Mary in the Bible, after Jesus had arisen and she was in the garden and she was looking, and the angel said unto her, woman, whom seekest thou? She wanted to find her Lord. She loved her Lord. Her Lord had done a lot for her. And she wanted her Lord. She couldn't find his body. Oh, that God would help us to get to that place where we're such a longing and such a hunger for the things of God that we'll be seeking after him, we'd go after him with everything we've got. Everything. We're not just going to wait till we come to the house of God. We're not just going to wait till we come to church. We're going to seek God at home. We're going to seek God in our cars. We're going to seek God on the job. The Bible says pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that I'm on my knees constantly. But I can be in that attitude of prayer all day long. And have my heart just really crying out for Jesus. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. And as you seek God, as you come in his presence, that desire will get greater and greater. We say we want revival. We say we want God's outpouring. Not going to happen to people who aren't hungry for God. It won't happen. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He said, if we seek him with our whole hearts, we'll find him. We want revival. We've got to seek it out. We've got to get on our knees. We've got to spend some extra time in prayer. Not the 5 minutes we're accustomed to praying, Lord, bless my day. But really getting down and spending time, getting alone with God. Remember when you first got saved? Oh, you couldn't get enough of Jesus. Julie, I was talking about you a few weeks ago because I can still remember and seeing you on them stairs at 701, 703, well, 701 Mass Ave. And if you wanted to find Julie, you would find her with her nose in the Bible. She was hungry. She was an example to us because Julie was hungry. She was really hungry for God. And I mean, I taught her in Bible school and she was still an example to me that way. That hunger, that thirst. Jackie, remember that little girl that was so hungry for God? I mean, do you still have that hunger? All of us. I'm talking to all of us now. Is there still that hunger and desire for the Lord and that longing and hearing the voice of the Lord? And I want you to hear that. I want you to hear God calling you to come. Come into his presence. To come ever seeking. To come reaching out to him. Come. Come. And we're going to talk more about, Lord willing, coming not only for ourselves, but for others. Maybe next week, God willing. And when I say others, I'm not just talking about your family. I'm talking about others. This morning, as I was, when I woke up, I went to bed real late and woke up, I was tired. But I started praying, and you know, sometimes when we pray, we can, and I've said this before, but we're selfish. And we just pray about ourselves, we pray about our needs, we pray about what God wants to, you want God to do for us, for our families. And I found myself praying for others. Instead of, you know, I had spent time talking to the Lord, asking him to help me with this, and I'd been up late last night getting prepared. But I prayed for others. And as I was praying, there was a particular person when I prayed, I said, God, give me something to text to this person. I had no idea what this person needed, what they needed to hear. And God gave me just two sentences. And when I did it, I thought, this sounds lame. It did. It was, and from the text that I received back, it was just what the person needed. But that's what happens when you get in God's presence. You see beyond me. You see beyond my needs and my family's needs. God knows what everybody needs. But if we don't come, if we don't keep that appointment with God, we will never know what God can do in us and through us. Remember we started out talking about prevailing in prayer? Prayers that will matter. Prayers that will bring results. Let's start this year, not just starting it, but let us determine in our hearts that we're going to use that open door that God has given us to come and to seek the Lord. We want to see, and I said this last week, we want to see a harvest of souls. It's only going to happen because we pray. It's only going to happen because we come. We say we want revival. We say we want the pews filled. God says, come to me. He said, ask of me and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. He wants us to ask. He wants us to come. Jesus looked at the multitude. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but he looked at the multitude and he saw them with compassion because they were like sheep with no shepherd. You know, after Isaiah had the cleansing from God, then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? After he had the cleansing, he saw beyond his problems. He saw beyond his need. And he was able to get the mind of God. Who does God want you to pray for? Who does God want you to intercede for? Who does God want you to battle in prayer for? And maybe grasp out of the hand of the lion? The devil. Remember, he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We're no match for him. We're no match for the devil. We can't defeat him in ourselves. We need to look out and see those who maybe are at the brink of hell and be able to snatch them. We can't do it unless we come. Can't do it unless you get in the presence of God and wrestle in prayer for souls. He says, come. Come apart and rest a while. When I was a child, There's a song we used to sing in Sunday school, and it's to the tune of Jingle Bells. It is. J-O-Y. J-O-Y. Anybody knows it? No? Okay, J-O-Y, J-O-Y. This must surely mean. Well, J, for who you think? Jesus first, and then it skipped over the O and it said, yourself last, and others in between. Jesus first, so come to Jesus. Jesus first, talk to him. Jesus first, fellowship with him. Sometimes we need to forget ourselves and put others in between and seek God for them. And like I said, not just seeking for your family. You know, there's others, believe it or not, there are other people in this world besides your family. Really? Others besides your kids. A lot of other people that we need to intercede for. We'll read one last scripture here. It's Isaiah chapter 65, I think it is. Isaiah 59:16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. What does it mean to intercede? Any thoughts? Any ideas? To pray for someone? The definition says to act or interpose in behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble, or by pleading or petition. So, interceding. We're going to take God's invitation, we're going to come to him, and we're going to stand in the place of somebody else and intercede and cry out and ask God to help them. Makes me think of someone that the Lord spoke to years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago more. And the Lord, said to him what he said to Peter. Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. Did he need somebody to intercede for him? Did he need someone to pray for him? Jesus told Peter that. But Jesus, you know what Jesus said? But I have prayed for you. Michael needed somebody to pray for him. And sure enough, the devil took a hold and sifted Michael pretty good. But today he's serving the Lord because people prayed. People interceded. People got a hold of God. People got into God's presence and took that invitation from the Lord to come. So let's not forget, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, but we need to come, and we need to come with not just our needs and our problems, but come on behalf of others. He says, I wondered that there was no intercessor. Let it not be said of us that we don't care about souls, that we're in the place where our people are in the place where it's being said of them, no man careth for my soul. Let's care for souls. Let's cry out for souls. Let's seek God and pull people even from the brink of hell with our prayers. Seeking them out. You may not be able to reach them by talking to them. You may not be able to reach them by phone. Sometimes words are futile. It's a waste of time to even try to talk. But we can accomplish much by praying and seeking God. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just cause us to have hearts, oh God, that are minded to seek after you and to come to you and to come in your presence. God, give us the burden for souls. Lord, give us, let us hear that invitation from you, Lord. Just that simple word, come. Let's hear that word time and time again. Lord, let it ring in our ears. Let us not be able to get away from it. Lord, that would take time to seek you, to seek for your help, to seek for souls, to wrestle for souls, to pull them out of the paw of the lion, the devil. And Lord, to see a mighty move of God and a mighty revival, because as your people, we have prayed and we have sought you. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen.